Welcome into today's edition of Just the Truth. Glad to have you join me in the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Studio. To lose weight for the last time, visit myphdweightloss.com. President Joe Biden drew a line in the sand yesterday saying that the U.S. will cut off offensive weapons to Israel if they go into Rafah. More on that in just a moment. We have a full update for you. Former President Donald Trump called on House Republicans to not vote in favor of Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, saying that this is not the time to oust House Speaker Mike Johnson. Representative Greene kicked off a firestorm yesterday when she seemed to surprise the GOP House leadership with her motion to vacate the speakership. According to a new study, the United States' global reputation is declining as immigration concerns grow in Europe. And speaking of immigration, Denver illegal migrants are refusing to leave an encampment and were bold enough to send the Denver mayor a list of their demands. That and a lot more to cover today.
I told you we'd be back.
And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
It's Joey Hudson.
I wanted to name it the Joey Hudson Bill, but you know, they don't allow you to name put names on bills, but I wanted to call it the Joey Hudson Bill because I know that one's been near and dear to you for a number of years.
That's how it's done. Let your voice be heard.
And the truth shall set you free.
Here's Joey Hudson.
Former President Donald Trump called on House Republicans to not vote in favor of Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, saying this is not the time for us to be having this fight and to be ousting House Speaker Mike Johnson. The House of Representatives yesterday killed an effort by Greene and Representative Thomas Massie from Kentucky to vote on vacating the chair. Greene appeared to catch most congressional House GOP leaders by surprise when she made the motion to force a vote to vacate the chair, which she has been threatening to do for weeks now. Though she's been seen in the past promoting a MAGA hat in favor of Trump, the former president called on Republicans to table her motion, posting on Truth Social. Donald Trump said, "I absolutely love Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's got spirit, she's got fight, and I believe she'll be around and on our side for a long time to come. However, right now, Republicans have to be fighting the radical left Democrats and all the damage they've done to our country. With a majority of one shortly growing to three or four, we're not in a position of voting on a motion to vacate. At some point, we may very well be, but this is not the time," he wrote. You agree? You agree with Donald Trump that Marjorie Taylor Greene should have stood down? Maybe the motion should not have even been made to begin with. He continued to say that he's leading in the presidential polls, both nationally and in swing states. Trump said that Republicans are doing well in the Senate, and he believed the party would do well in the House as well. He then warned about giving off the message that Republicans are not unified. He said, "But if we show disunity, which will be portrayed as chaos, it will negatively affect everything." Writing on Truth Social, he continued, "Mike Johnson is a good man who is trying very hard. I also wish certain things were done over the last period of 2 months, but we'll get them done together," he said. He said, "It is my request that Republicans vote for the motion to table. We will win big, and it will be soon," in all capital letters, he wrote. Again, is this the right thing for us to forego this fight? Not to have the battle over the speakership at this point in time in the middle of election year? I tend to agree with Donald Trump. We don't need anything to be taking our eye off of the ball, focusing on beating Joe Biden and the leftist Democrats in November. We don't need to be fighting among ourselves. Here's what happened yesterday. Following through on her promise, GOP Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia moved to vacate the seat of the Speaker of the House, wanting to fire Speaker Mike Johnson. Taylor made her case on why Johnson should be removed, and she presented the motion to vacate. Here's Marjorie Taylor Greene yesterday.
"By passing the the Democrats' agenda and handcuffing Republicans' ability to influence legislation, our elected Republican Speaker Mike Johnson has aided and abetted the Democrats and the Biden administration in destroying our country. Whereas removing this uniparty speaker will not give the speaker's gavel to the Democrats, which would only happen if Republicans actually vote for Hakeem Jeffries. Johnson regularly chooses to ally himself with Democrats. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the office of the Speaker of the House of Representatives.
Gentlewoman will suspend. The House will be in order. Gentlewoman's recognized.
Resolved that the office of the Speaker of the House of Representatives is hereby declared to be vacant.
When Representative Green presented the motion to vacate, she was shouted down, booed by her colleagues, both Democrats and Republicans.
The form of the resolution is as follows: declaring the office of Speaker of the House of Representatives to be vacant. This is the uniparty for the American people watching.
Gentlelady will suspend. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes. For what purpose does the gentleman from Kentucky seek recognition?
I request the yeas and nays.
On this vote, the yeas are 359, the nays are 43, with seven answering present. The motion is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
Pointing out, calling out, whatever you want to call it, calling the GOP, the uniparty, her colleagues in the uniparty. Johnson got overwhelming Democrat and Republican support for the table vote. It passed 359 to 43, which meant that it would avert a vote on Marjorie Taylor Greene's motion. Just 11 Republicans voted against tabling the measure, along with 32 Democrats. On the Republican side, Johnson won the support of 196 members, while 163 Democrats also voted to keep the speaker. Now, this was part of a deal, if you will. Democrats said, Nancy Pelosi and Hakeem Jeffries had said weeks ago that if Marjorie Taylor Greene did try to force a vote on the speakership, that they would stand behind the speaker. Green has been threatening this and taking Johnson's gavel since sometime back in March in protest of his handling of the government funding and foreign aid, these massive foreign aid spending bills. A resolution, again, known as a motion to vacate the chair, would now was voted on, tabled, out of the steps on the Capitol. A group of GOP lawmakers voiced their concerns about what Representative Green is trying to do.
You're asking the impossible. They refuse to vote for a rule, and which means you have to bring things to the floor without either with Democratic support. And then when you get Democratic support, then they get mad at you for getting Democratic support. We all wish we could have a larger conservative majority. We wish we had the Senate. We wish we had the presidency. We do not have any of those things. A lot of the same people that are frustrated in dealing with all of this have had the opportunity to do these things and move forward. And the reality of this is like the congressional version of a temper tantrum. And we continue to do it. We continue to move forward. And what we're really doing and what they're really allowing to happen is for the Democrats to coalesce on issues that we are divided on. Ukraine's a perfect example. I disagreed with the speaker on the Ukraine vote, But the reason we aren't allowed to bring amendments to that is because we have people in our party that sank the rule, 55 of them, which gets us to a point where we have to be where we're at. And I probably have the longest personal relationship with Mike Johnson of anybody here. I served with him when I got here in Congress in 2018. If Mike Johnson is not thoughtful enough and not conservative enough to be the Speaker of the House, then we have real problems, because there ain't anybody else that's going to be acceptable for that job.
Most of us, by the time we turn 12 years old, figure out that tantrums don't actually work. And apparently not everybody in Congress has got the memo. Mr. LaLota from New York.
On both sides of the aisle, there are too many show ponies and not enough workhorses. Beside and behind me are some serious members of the Republican conference who came here to govern, who came here to fix issues on the border, fix issues on inflation. We remain focused on those issues, and we will not be distracted by Marjorie Taylor Greene and this waste of time motion to vacate that will not have the support. Too many members of Congress are here to seek attention for themselves, not here to represent constituents and represent the country. There are serious issues that deserve the country's attention, that deserve the Congress's attention. Folks beside and behind me are the ones leading the charge in that. I'm proud to stand with them today.
And this all happened pretty quickly. Around 5:15, the motion was made. Again, kind of caught the House Republican leadership off guard. Didn't take them very long, though, to defeat this. Again, I ask you, is Donald Trump right? Is this a fight we need to avoid right now? Hope you'll join the conversation today. 864-477-JOEY, 864-477-5639. Send your comments to the Furman Ford text line. You can leave a quick voice message, and your emails are always welcome, Joey, at joeyhudson.com. Soon going to be 4 years ago that I started my journey with PhD weight loss and nutrition. I lost 30 pounds pretty quickly, I might add, and I've been able to maintain that for almost 4 years now. It'll be 4 years coming up in July. If this is the year that you have decided that you're going to get healthy, that you're going to lose that weight, that visceral fat that's so damaging around your waist, then now's the time to start. Let me encourage you to make that call today. 864-252-4925. Set up your initial consultation with PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition. Boy, am I glad that I met Dr. Ashley Lucas 4 years ago and that she got me on the right path to getting healthy. You're going to be able to do things that you may have thought you'd never be able to do again. Play with the kids, the grandkids, be able to hike and walk and maybe play a full 18-round hole of golf and be able to do it and not get so winded. Because when you take that excess weight off, you're just going to feel better. You're going to be able to focus. You're going to be able to sleep better. Your overall health is just going to be improved. 864-252-4925. Call, set up your initial consultation. Find them online at myphdweightloss.com. PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, the official partner of the Clemson Tigers. What a great time I had yesterday in Columbia. I went down to the State House and was given a resolution by the South Carolina House of Representatives recognizing some of my activities, community involvement, and various things that I've done over the years here in the upstate. It was just a fun day. Peg went down with me. And of course, today is their final day in this session. So they were pretty busy yesterday. So it made it even more special that Speaker Merle Smith and the House GOP leadership allowed Representative Mike Burns and Representative Bill Chumley, John McCravey, Doug Gillum, Daniel Gibson, Stuart Jones. I mean, there's a whole list of them. I shouldn't even be calling their names because I'm going to leave somebody off here. Don't want to do that. But just saw a lot of great folks, Celeste Davis yesterday. And it was an honor to be there. It was an honor to be recognized. I stood in the balcony as they presented me with this resolution. It was nicely framed and all. We took some photos and stuff afterwards, but just a good day in Columbia. And you know, I gotta be honest, it feels good to be recognized for some of the things I've spent my entire life here in upstate South Carolina and been involved in a lot of things over the years. So kudos and just a real appreciation to Representative Mike Burns and Representative Bill Chumley for leading that effort. Denver illegal immigrants are refusing to leave an encampment and were bold enough to send the Denver mayor a list of demands. Now, what is wrong with this picture? A group of illegal immigrants in Denver are literally refusing to leave an encampment until the city meets the demands, and they sent a list. About 13 specific demands are on this list, and they say they're not going to leave until they get these things. John Ewing, a spokesperson for Denver Human Services, told the local Fox affiliate, at the end of the day, what we do not want is families on the streets of Denver. And he talked about how they want them to leave these encampments and go to some of the shelters. The list that was sent to Mayor Mike Johnson included requests for provisions like fresh, culturally appropriate food. So I guess they're not happy with the food that they're being fed. So they want some culturally appropriate food. No time limits on showers and free immigration lawyers. Yeah, let's just set up a table out in the middle of this encampment for and send some attorneys out there to help them with their claims. These illegals insisted that if these are not met, they will not leave their tent community. The current encampment is situated near some train tracks and under bridges, and Fox 31 added that the city officials just do not believe it's safe for them to be there. Further details of the demands read, migrants will cook their own food with fresh, culturally appropriate ingredients provided by the city instead of pre-made meals, rice, chicken, flour, oil, butter, tomatoes, onions, etc. Shower access will be available without time limits and can be accessed whenever. Medical professional visits will happen regularly and referrals, connections for specialty care will also be made available. The immigrants also insisted that they get connection to employment support, including work permit applications for those who qualify, as well as consultations for each person family with a free immigration lawyer. Hey, look, just give us your list and we'll try to make it happen for you. Additionally, these illegals demanded privacy within the shelter, saying no more verbal or physical or mental abuse will be permitted from the staff, including no sheriff sleeping inside and monitoring us 24/7. We're not criminals and won't be treated as such. Now, you got to remember, it was just a few months ago when Denver cut some of their local services by millions, which will cut back on their police services in order to provide some of these services. Here's Denver Mayor. This was just about 2 months ago.
Hi, good morning, Dana. $8.4 million will be taken from the Denver police budget. This is to help fund a nearly $90 million aid package to address the city's migrant crisis. And as you mentioned, Denver Mike Johnson is trying to justify this plan, explaining it's a combination of capital cuts like putting off buying new furniture for police, but it will restrict the department's ability to hire for open positions. Johnston insists it will not impact public safety.
So no change in officers that are deployed to the street, no changes in our plan on recruiting, and no changes in public-facing services.
Denver's police chief was also at this announcement. He said the department recognizes the need to be partners in this, attempting to assure folks who live here.
So we were able to make sure that we provide all of our core services without having any impact on the budget at all. Yeah, and certainly happy that we found a pathway to help these migrants that are coming into our city.
Now, Mayor Johnston says he had no choice given the influx of migrants to Denver, which at one point was receiving the largest number per capita of any other city in the country. He also blames Washington.
There was a bipartisan bill to do that failed in the House. You know that story. I think what we found at that point is whether we would like the federal government to do it or not, that was no longer a choice for us. It was clear that was not going to happen in this Congress in the next 7 months. So we felt like we had to take this into our own hands to come up with a solution.
What is wrong with this picture? The taxpayers are having to do without services. They're paying for it in order to meet the demands of these illegals. Since when did we allow illegals to dictate the services they receive? This is clearly a case of packing them up and shipping them out just as quickly as we possibly can. Would you give in to this? Do these city officials, do they even need to acknowledge these demands that these illegals are making? It makes no sense. And as long as we allow this to happen, it's going to happen more often. There's going to be more and more of these come because word gets around quickly. They have a great network. This is just insane. Hope you'll join the conversation today. 864-477-JOEY, 864-477-5639. Send your comments to the Furman Ford text line. You can leave a quick voice message, and your emails are always welcome, joey@joeyhudson.com. Speaking of the Furman Ford text line, you know, it's never been more important to support locally run businesses owned by people who actually live here in the upstate. Let me take a minute to talk with you about our friends at Furman Ford. If you're looking for a new vehicle, maybe a great pre-owned vehicle, one you can trust, or maybe you're looking to order that special vehicle. Either way, if you want a new one, a brand new one, or a pre-owned that you can trust, the folks at Furman Ford, they're there to help you. Their name is on the sign because their name is on the line, because every single transaction is important to them. Jim Furman, Matthew Furman. They do business the right way. When you stop by, when you give them a call, or maybe when you just send them a quick email, you're always going to have access to a member of the Furman Ford family. And by the way, they also offer great service, and you're not going to have to wait weeks and weeks to get it done. And you do not have had to purchase your vehicle at Furman Ford. Doesn't even have to be a Ford. They service all makes and models. Visit my friends at Furman Ford online at FurmanFord.com, FurmanFord.com. President Joe Biden says the U.S. will cut off offensive weapons to Israel if they go into Rafah. Biden said Wednesday that he would halt shipments of bombs and other ammunition to Israel if it launched this major military invasion into the southern Gaza city of Rafah, which Benjamin Netanyahu has been promising to do just any day now. The warning comes, again, as Israeli forces appear to be ready to conduct more operations in what is a densely packed area of about 1.7 million people. Biden said in an interview on CNN, "I made it clear that if they go into Rafah," they haven't gone into Rafah yet, he said, "but if they go into Rafah, I'm not going to supply the weapons that have been used historically to deal with Rafah, to deal with the cities that deal with that problem." This was, again, an interview on CNN yesterday with Joe Biden. The statement was the clearest condition of aid yet by the Biden administration. He's hinted at this in the past, that he would not be supportive of Israel going into Rafah. It sent immediate ripples through national politics, with conservatives accusing the president of abandoning our long-held ally, Israel, and some liberals hailing the pronouncement, of course, as you can imagine. Biden has been supportive so far of Israel since the Hamas attack back on October the 7th, and in a speech this week affirmed our support while warning of a ferocious rise in anti-Semitism. Now, CNN says the administration has also gradually soured, though, on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's handling of the war. And in his interview with CNN, President Biden, for the first time, also acknowledged that American-made weapons have killed civilians in Gaza. Biden said civilians have been killed in Gaza as a consequence of those bombs and other ways in which they go after population centers. He's referring to 2,000-pound bombs, which have been put on hold by the administration for the time being. Now, these remarks by Biden come just literally days after we learned that our country had delayed a shipment of bombs to Jerusalem, marking a new phase in our involvement with the war, one which progressives in the president's party have been begging him for. Biden has been under growing pressure from a lot of his the more left-leaning Democrats, as well as from a series of demonstrations on college campuses or all around the country. These kids think that they're going to negotiate, and look, in the end, they may. If Biden holds out on sending the munitions, they may win after all. Until now, the president has resisted some of the calls and has strongly supported Israel's effort to go after Hamas. But his administration has been pushing Netanyahu to not order a full-scale invasion of Rafah for weeks now, as Netanyahu has suggested that was going to be his next move. Some of the areas of Gaza where many people fled as the war started, they describe some of the living areas and what aid groups are saying are increasingly dire conditions, as there's no food. There's no fresh water. It's not sanitary. Progressive Democrat showed support for Biden's remarks. Senator Chris Van Hollen said, quote, it makes very, very clear that the United States is not to be complicit in this suffering, and follows through on his repeated warnings to Netanyahu's government. But Republicans, of course, are chastising Joe Biden for breaking his what they called ironclad commitment to support our longtime U.S. ally. Senator Mitt Romney said, we stand by allies, we don't second guess them. Biden's dithering on Israel's weapons is bad policy and a terrible message to Israel, our allies, and the rest of the world. For once, I agree with something that Mitt Romney has said. Democrat groups that advocate on behalf of Israel, and who to this point have been pretty much supportive of the president's handling of the Gaza war, they were forced with this latest announcement to admit their disappointment, saying, we are deeply grateful for President Biden's unprecedented support for Israel and its security. Mark Mehlman, president of the advocacy group Democrat Majority for Israel, said, at the same time, we are deeply concerned about the administration's decision to withhold weapons now and potentially impose further restrictions. A strong U.S.-Israel alliance like the one President Biden has created plays a central role in preventing more war and making the path to eventual peace possible, calling the strength of that alliance into question and saying that we're in dangerous ground now. Look, can Biden unilaterally do this? Can the president just decide that, Congress has approved the requisition of these of this ammunition, right? Hasn't Congress approved it? So can the president just decide he's not going to send it, even after congressional approval? Love to get your comments on that. Send them to joey@joeyhudson.com, or you can text me as well. Now, while Biden said that the U.S. would stop sending offensive weapons to Israel if it launches its invasion of Rafah, it would continue to provide protective weapons, including for its Iron Dome air defense system, which helped repel recent rocket and drone attacks from Iran and its allies. Biden said, we're going to continue to make sure Israel is secure in terms of Iron Dome and their ability to respond to attacks that came out of the Middle East recently. But, he said, it's just wrong. We're not going to supply the weapons and artillery shells. Now, that's a conflicting report to me. How do you say, okay, we're not going to send you the munitions that we were going to send you to attack Gaza, but we'll continue to send you what you need for the Iron Dome? Israel has conducted limited operations in Rafah so far, but Biden said it had not yet crossed a red line of entering heavily populated zones, even though it's led to a surge of tensions in the area, as the Israeli Defense Forces are camped out nearby. The president also expressed sympathy with the pro-Palestinian protesters who shadow many of his events, sometimes shouting Genocide Joe. He said, absolutely, I hear you. I guess he's going to start pandering to these groups. He'll start pandering to the Palestinian lovers. He said, I hear you, to those angry protesters who are protesting about Gaza, the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. So in this interview with CNN, it was in Wisconsin, which is a key battleground state, where earlier in the day he cast a major new investment as emblematic of the nation's economic comeback while mocking the failures of his predecessor, Donald Trump. Biden said in the interview, adding later, he said, he's never succeeded in creating jobs, and I've never failed. Joe Biden is still convinced that the jobs growth that we've seen in the last few years is due to his policies. He won't admit that because our unemployment was at a pretty much record because of COVID. So there's nowhere to go but up. But Joe Biden wants us to believe that his economic policies have led to these to the job growth that we've seen. And look, I'm thankful for it. I want people who need work and want to work to be able to find a job. But let's face it, it's not because of Joe Biden. Nothing that Joe Biden has done. Another little interesting twist here before we leave the topic of Biden's interview on CNN yesterday. It was kind of interesting, and you have to understand, I don't watch a lot of CNN. I just happened to see a headline about Joe Biden sitting down with Aaron Burnett, and I thought, I got to see this. It's worth me spending a few minutes to watch this just to see what he says to her. And you know, she teed it up for him. So there you have Aaron Burnett, again, there in Wisconsin. And she asked the president why he is so confident in the economy. He quickly dismissed polls that show him slightly trailing Donald Trump. And he expressed optimism that he's going to win in November. But he also added in something there. You know, we're according to the Democrats, we're supposed to get past 2020, which actually to a degree I agree with. I think we have to stop talking about 2020. It is what it is, and start focusing on 2024. We'll talk about that at another time. But listen to this, for a party and for a leader who wants us to get past 2020, Joe Biden still lives there himself. He actually, when asked, he talks about how Donald Trump and how scary it is to know that Donald Trump will not accept the results of the election. He said, I promise you that. Here's Joe Biden.
The idea, look, you can't only love your country when you win, number one. How many court cases do they have? Supreme Court cases. They all said this is totally legitimate election. This is Trump. I mean, it's saying whether he may not accept the outcome of the election. I promise you he won't.
Promise that he won't.
He won't.
So,
and which is dangerous. Look, I travel around the world with other world leaders. You know what they all say? Not a joke. 80% of them, after we have a major meeting, they go, "We've got to win. My democracy to stay. Their democracy to stay." Because when you think of the things he's saying, if he's reelected the president, he's going to make sure his attorney general prosecutes those he tells him to prosecute. And he doesn't even fire
day.
On the first. Not just if no. He said this about prosecution across the board. He's going to be, I am your retribution. What president's ever said anything like this stuff? But he means it. Going to wipe out the changes we made in Medicare, changes we made in terms of drug prices, changes we made. He's going to wipe it all out. And then he's going to put in a 10% tax, which is going to increase everybody's cost. The average American costs $1,500 a year. I mean, listen to what he's saying.
Hope you'll join the conversation today. 864-477-JOEY, 864-477-5639. Send your comments to the Furman Ford text line. You can leave a quick voice message, and your emails are always welcome, joey@joeyhudson.com. Whether you're replacing a broken appliance or maybe you're just upgrading, you're totally remodeling the kitchen, when it's time to get those new appliances, when you're ready for them, you don't want to have to wait weeks or even months to get started using them, right? Well, that's not the case when you shop with my friends at Discounted Appliance Warehouse. With over 11,000 square feet and 1,500 appliances at any given time, you can buy today and use today quite often. I'm talking about shopping with my friends at Discounted Appliance Warehouse in Pickens. It's worth the short drive over to Pickens. Jeff, Johnny, Kyle, the whole team over there, they'll take good care of you. They have an award-winning service department, expert installation, extended warranties, and at Discounted Appliance Warehouse, they treat you like family. You're more than just a credit card swipe to all the team over there. Discounted Appliance Warehouse, they're proud to offer Speed Queen, the only washer and dryers with manufacturer's warranties that cover parts and labor. You owe it to yourself if you're looking for a new appliance to head over to Pickens to Discounted Appliance Warehouse online at dawpickens.com, dawpickens.com. On the text line, Jeff writes, I'm glad y'all are back. I don't get to hear your show. It's too early, but I do hear you with Mike Gallagher occasionally, and I definitely never miss a podcast. Well, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you listening to the podcast, and hey, appreciate you listening to the Mike Gallagher show too. Every day, right here on News Talk 98.9 WORD, the voice of the Carolinas, tune in at 10:34. And I do a special segment within the Mike Gallagher show. And then tomorrow, Friday, I'm going to be filling in for Mike. You'll get 2 hours of me on 98.9 WORD, as Mike is going to take a day off to see his son, Trevor, graduate to receive his master's. So I'll be sitting in for Mike Gallagher tomorrow. Christy writes, weddings are ridiculously expensive. They should save the money and elope, problem solved. This is in response to a story yesterday. I asked you. This was a Reddit post with parents who were in a quandary because they have two daughters. The oldest daughter, they paid like 40 grand for her wedding. The youngest daughter is now upset because they do have a couple of conditions upon paying for the marriage. One of which is being that you have to have the marriage at a place that is accessible by handicap, by wheelchair accessible, because they have a couple family members who are in wheelchairs. The youngest daughter doesn't want to abide by those and wants to have her wedding in a mountainous area that is totally not accessible by a wheelchair. So the mom and dad said, well, we're not going to pay for it. We've told you from the beginning that we'll pay for it under a couple of circumstances here. I agree with Christy. Weddings are ridiculously expensive. Texture says, as for the refugee, a foreign national who received a voter registration form, is very concerning, but it's all concerned that a non-citizen is allowed to go on Medicaid while U.S. citizens must sometimes wait months after they've been approved for disability for their Medicaid benefits to kick in. That is bad, isn't it? Now what this texter is referencing, of course, is the issue in South Carolina where Representative Adam Morgan, part of the Freedom Caucus, has asked for an investigation, and he's created quite the stir because a couple of foreign nationals who live in Boiling Springs, South Carolina, evidently received an application for voter registration, even though they're non-citizens. And as we've kind of dug into this, we've learned that this is a common practice that the Department of Health or whatever the agency is who offers or oversees Medicaid benefits, they claim that they are required by federal law to give this form to anyone who is getting services from their agency. This form happens to be the form that is used to register to vote. So if this proves to be true, which I have no reason not to think that it is, we've been giving and will continue to give illegal immigrants an application to register to vote when they're signing up for our social services benefits to begin with. Does it make sense, does it? Our text of encouragement today. Joel writes, failure would never overtake me if my determination to succeed is strong enough. God bless. Thank you, Joel. Appreciate that. From our email inbox, Paul writes, hey, Joey, instead of calling liberals progressives, we should call them regressives. They're not moving our country forward. They're tearing it down. Congratulations on your move to WORD. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate that email. Your emails are welcome as well. Joey at joeyhudson.com. Appreciate getting all those messages. The United States, we're talking about Joe Biden and his ultimatum to Israel with the idea that he will not send the munitions that we've already promised them, that Congress has already approved. According to a global study that was just published, the United States' reputation in the world has declined because of the immigration issue and as immigration problems are growing in Europe. Here's what we know. According to this global study, it was published yesterday. The reputation of the U.S. globally has taken a hit over the last year, and the majority of citizens believe that election integrity threatens the country's democracy, while immigration is now one of the top concerns among Europeans. Because they're having issues as well with immigration. According to the study, the drop in positive attitudes towards the U.S. is particularly stark in the Muslim-majority countries surveyed, including Indonesia, Malaysia, Turkey, Morocco, Egypt, and Algeria, as well as in European countries such as Switzerland, Ireland, Ukraine, and Germany. Now, as I read that list of countries off to you, do you care? I mean, really, do I care what some of these Muslim majority countries think about me as a United States citizen? Do I care what they think about my country? Also, as part of this, 60%, this is in the U.S. now, 60% of respondents said that unfair elections and or election fraud threatens the country's democracy, while about 77% said that corruption is a threat to the democracy as well. People just do not trust our election system. And Donald Trump, back to this CNN interview that he had yesterday with Aaron Burdett, he points the finger to Donald Trump. Biden literally told her yesterday that he is already predicting that Donald Trump will not accept the outcome of this November's election.
The idea, look, you can't only love your country when you win, number one. How many court cases do they have? Supreme Court cases. They all said this is totally legitimate election. This is Trump. I mean, it's saying whether he may not accept the outcome of the election. I promise you he won't.
Promise that he won't.
He won't.
So,
and which is dangerous. Look, I travel around the world with other world leaders. You know what they all say? Not a joke. 80% of them, after we have a major meeting, they go, "We've got to win. My democracy to stay. Their democracy to stay." Because when you think of the things he's saying, if he's reelected the president, he's going to make sure his attorney general prosecutes those he tells him to prosecute. And if he doesn't, he's going to fire on the first. Not just if he said this about prosecution across the board. He's going to be, I am your retribution. What person has ever said anything like this, though? But he means it. Going to wipe out the changes we made in Medicare, changes we made in terms of drug prices, changes we made, wipe it all out. And then he's going to put in a 10% tax, which is going to increase everybody's cost. The average American costs $1,500 a year. I mean, listen to what he's saying.
So there you have it. Joe Biden promising us that Donald Trump will not accept the outcome of November's election. He's already setting this up. He's wanting people to start being suspicious of Donald Trump's intentions. Wow. That's it for today's edition of Just the Truth. Thanks for joining me in the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Studio. To lose weight for the last time, visit myphdweightloss.com. If you haven't joined our mailing list yet, visit my website, joeyhudson.com. Just click on the Connect with Joey button so that you can receive our emails and the most up-to-date news. Also, find me on YouTube. Be sure and like, subscribe, follow me on my YouTube channel. Just search for Joey Hudson. Appreciate you spending a few minutes of your day with me. Be sure and forward this edition of Just the Truth to some friends. Just click on the share button. Send it to a few of your contacts, because if we're going to build our community and we're going to win in the June primaries, and if we're going to win in November especially, we got to build an army of conservatives. The way we beat Joe Biden is through educating people, and no better way than encouraging them to listen to Just the Truth. Hey, keep those comments coming via the Furman Ford text line, 864-477-JOEY, 864-477-5639. Your emails always welcome as well. Joey@joeyhudson.com. We're back again tomorrow. Hope you will be too. Remember, God's got this. He's still in control.